Morning, everyone. Before we jump into our passage this morning, just a couple of things to highlight. First, my family and I, we will be camping this week. We'll be up in the woods of Maine. So if you need to get in touch with anyone, please contact the elders of the church, or you can go right to the info at HollistonChurch.org. But any of the elders, Gary or Chris or Jeff or Michael, you can contact them for any needs that come up during this week. Then secondly, I just want to revisit, we mentioned it a little bit a few weeks ago, but kind of update on the survey that went out to everyone. Thank you for everyone who responded to the survey about reopening to in-person services. It's a really difficult issue, and you can just tell you had some wonderful feedback. Again, the response was overwhelming in terms of everyone who replied. The results right now continue to show that about 70% of the congregation, doesn't feel comfortable or doesn't want to return yet to in-person services, either because of safety concerns or also just because of the dramatic changes that would take place in our service if we were to meet in person for right now. So we will continue on meeting this way for now. We continue to review that, and we are constantly listening to the governor and to local town officials, of which we're so blessed to have Chief Cassidy be our local point person for this in our town. So continue to pray. I know we all really want to be together. I want to be together so much. So we continue to seek God. I just wanted to give you an update on that. So let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go to our passage this morning. Father God, we thank you that even in this time of pandemic and quarantine, so much unknown, Lord, that we can meet together through your Holy Spirit as one body in Christ and worship you, O God. Thank you that we join together in Christ now to worship you. I do pray for your Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us, whether we are watching live right now, watching afterwards, even for those, O God, who are not able to be with us this morning, Lord. I do pray, Father, that you would work us together in one, that you would meet every need that we have, O God. Think especially of all the prayer requests that came through this week. Just the various people who need healing, as Michael prayed, continue to need your hand upon them, Lord. I pray, God, that you would work within us by your Spirit as we turn to your Word now, that your will would be done within us and through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, let's turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. How majestic is your name. Psalm 8. There are 9 verses in this. Hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. This is God's Word. And this psalm here, there's a beautiful declaration of God's majesty, of His lordship over all of His creation. And also, there's a beautiful discussion, in such poetic form, of God's relationship to His creatures, particularly to us as humans. It's powerful that in these few short words it can extol the majesty of God and also relate to our personal interactions with God, our status as His children, His beloved children, all in one psalm, one very short psalm. How majestic is God's name! Verses 1 and 2 speak to the praise of His glory, to the praise of God's glory. Verses 1 and 2. It starts off with, O Lord, our Lord. And what a beautiful opening this is. First of all, it's very poetic. It sounds very poetic from our songs, right? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. I know that I don't want to overstate this, right? But I do want to continue to call our attention when it's especially, I think, so important in this context. But if you look at those two Lords in your English Bibles, I assume you're reading the English Bible right now. If you look at those two words, you see the first one is all capitals, and the second one isn't. It's just the L in the second one that is capitalized. The first one there is God's name, Yahweh. That's how our English Bibles translate it. They put it all in capitals and change it to Lord. And that speaks of the covenant love that God has for us, that He brings us into a covenant, and He by His own name promises to keep the covenant because of His loving kindness to us. He promises His protection. He promises His love for us forever and ever. He is Yahweh. The second one then is speaking of what we normally think of with Lord. It's the Lord that we worship. It is the Lord that we bow to. It is the Lord that we surrender to. We serve Lord, the one who is Lord, God. But He's not just a far away Lord, some powerful figure that we'll never see or never have interactions with, that we only just hear about. No, He is our Lord. And so there is the personal relationship here. There is this cry from within the soul of, in this case, David, as he's writing this, and therefore all of us as we read this or sing this psalm, there's a cry from within our hearts that we are in awe of our covenant God who loves us, and He is our God. He's our Lord. And we are in relationship to Him, and the hearts of David, the hearts of those who cry this psalm, are overflowing with affection towards God, towards our Lord. After reflecting upon the name and having that just pour forth from the soul of one who is so close to God, now it's the declaration of what is bringing forth this praise. How majestic is Your name in all the earth. The name of God is covered and is glorified and is beautiful throughout all the earth, even in places where His name is not known. The heavens declare the glory of God. All of creation, according to Romans chapter 1, shouts forth His name, His invisible qualities. Such that when we see the moon and the stars, when we see the flower and the blade of grass, God's majesty is declared, is shouted We can look at those things and not worship what is created, but worship the Creator behind them all. How majestic is God's name through all the earth. We catch more of a glimpse of all this as he continues on. What is it? What is about God's name that is majestic? What is his majesty that's seen throughout the earth? The end of verse 1, begin into verse 2. You have set your glory above the heavens, such that we could explore space forever and ever and ever and never run out of observing God's glory magnified throughout the heavens. That His glory rests throughout all creation, which is really where he's going here through all of this, where David's going here, describing God as the creator of the outermost ends of all of creation, of which there is no end. And not only is God so glorified far, far, far out there, beyond anywhere that we will ever see or ever encounter, there are majesties out there that we will not even be able to worship God for until we are in heaven. As big as God is, He also, in very simple, very small ways, verse 2, calls forth praise out of the mouths of babies and infants. He establishes His strength from the cries of the infant and the baby, from the very small, the very weak, the very powerless. And we see this beautiful turning of our understanding of strength and what is right and good and strong and powerful in this world, turning it upside down. So here, the foes and the enemies are the ones who are brought down. The ones who are shown to be weak. Because of the mighty army God sends? No, because of the praise God sends forth from the mouths of little babies. You would think it would be the powerful who would strike down and bring down the enemy and the foe. No, it's the baby. It's the cry of the baby, which speaks to God and His glory and His goodness and His love, not just of all the big things, but of the very small things too. God's eye is on the sparrow. If God clothes the flowers of the field with such beauty, will He not also clothe you? God is very big. And He keeps all the concerns of the entire creation in His hands at all times. But that doesn't mean that your concerns are too small for Him. There's no concern too small for God. He is mindful of the most minute detail of your need, of your desire, of your cry, of your heart. There is nothing too small or too big for God. And in both the small and the big is God glorified. To the praise of the glory of God. Well, now in the middle part of this psalm, what takes up the most of it, we want to look at this carefully. He is switching now, and he's after extolling the praise of God's glory in both the big and the small. David is now going to shift, and he's going to speak about our relationship to God. And it is meant to absolutely speak of the beauty and the power and the intimacy of our relationship with God. But as we'll see, in the end result isn't to say, wow, aren't we awesome? But to see how awesome this relationship is with God and return back to praise Him. We'll see that hopefully as it unfolds. First, three ways here that this passage describes our relationship to God. First, in verses 3 and 4, God cares for us. He cares for us. It says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you were mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Now, before we get into the part about how God cares for us, look at this declaration that is being made here. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, everything that you have set in place, is an affirmation here that our God is the Creator. Our God created all things. He created out of nothing. He didn't have a pile of Legos or a pile of dirt or anything to build with. He didn't have any starting materials. He spoke. That is the power of our God. He created all things. Nothing is that was not created by God. And God Himself, therefore, is not created. He is eternal. Always was, always will be, and is now, forever and ever. But God is the one who created all things. When we think of our God, O Lord, our Lord, He is the one who created each and every one of us. People, I know it's a cliche, but let us all hold dear to the fact, the truth, that God don't make no junk. God made you. And He made you because He loves you. Because you are special in His sight. He made you with purpose and with love. He made you to worship Him and to love Him. And He loves you with an everlasting love. You are His precious, precious creation whom He loves. God created all things, and so He is Master and Lord of all things. This is why it's so offensive when Adam and Eve say, no, we think we'll go a different way. That's why it's so awful when any of us sin. It's a rejection of God as our Lord, as the Creator. He has made us in love to love Him. All things are God's. The moon and the stars, these things that we can't control, we can barely even see with all of our technology, God set them in place. He knows every star by name. He holds the ocean to where it will go. It's His will where the ocean will go. Because He created all things. And in the light of all these enormous things, the heavens, the moon, the stars, how is it when God made such enormous things that He cares about us? He cares for each and every one of us. Our names are in His head, are on His heart. We are on His mind all the time. Always, every single one of us. He knows every thought we have, every word we form, and He cares. He cares for us. Our big concerns, our small concerns. He cares for us. Take heart, child of God. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. Next, in our relationship with God, verse 5, God not only cares for us, He honors us. He honors us. Again, verse 5, yet you have made Him, humans, a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you have crowned Him with glory and honor. All these things, and we'll see more of the creation in a second here, in the third and final relationship that we have with God. But looking at all these big things, the stars and the moon and the heavens, and they all declare God's glory. Their very nature, their very existence declare God's glory. But guess what? None of them can talk to God. None of them can communicate with God. They shine forth His glory and His name as we see His image and His character, His name reflected in their very nature. But none of them are children of God, adopted by God. That honor is reserved for us as humans. That He has chosen us of all His creation to be the bearers of His image in the world. What an honor indeed that we are to go and to represent our Lord, our King, to all the world, showing forth His love, His mercy, His goodness to all the world. We are honored by God in our very special relationship to Him. Third in this psalm and final is in our relationship with God, the way God relates to us and we to Him. Not only does He care for us, not only does He honor us, He has given us dominion in this world over His creation. Verses 6 through 8. You have given Him, humanity, dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under our feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. He has given us dominion. He has put us as overseers of His creation, given us stewardship of His creation, extension of His great care for us, extension of His honoring us, the way in which He honors us by calling us to be stewards over all His creation, to have this word used here, dominion over. That we are to represent God in His watch care for all of creation. I know environmental issues, unfortunately, are so tied up in politics. Unfortunately, so many issues of right and wrong and justice and goodness are tied up in politics. And so it gets very complicated. It's very difficult to associate yourself with different groups or positions because it has political implications which we may not intend on either side. But as followers of God, we are called to shepherd, to steward, to care for creation. We see this in the creation account, where God places Adam and Eve, says to be fruitful and multiply, to extend the garden, but that also all creation was put under them. We often look at day six, and I think it's maybe a little description of this passage here. In day six, we are honored as God's very good creation, the final part of His creation. But day six also has the animals that fill the earth on it also. And so we share a day with the animals, though we have dominion over them. So there's a dominion, but mixed with humility, I would suggest, in that also. That we, as having dominion, are not to ravage creation. That we are not to take advantage of creation, no. That we are to steward it. This is the role that God has given to us as His followers. Now, as we look at these three things, God cares for us, God honors us, and God gives us dominion. We see this description here of our relationship to God. And it's so powerful, it's so good, it's so beyond us, I would suggest. It is one in which we can't fulfill. The picture painted here is one that we aspire to, that we are drawn to, and yet we know that our watch care is never perfect, that our understanding of the honor God has given to us is not perfect because our sin taints the honor that we have. That God's care for us is so beautiful, is so beyond our understanding, but we know that we still reject Him when we sin. And so while these truths about us, they represent our very real relationship to God, I believe they also call us and point us that there's something greater. The fulfillment of these, the actualization of this relationship with the Father has got to be something greater than what we currently experience. And so it points us to Christ. That Christ is the one who embodies perfectly this relationship with the Father. And through Christ, through His death and resurrection, when we come to Him by God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we enter into the reality of this relationship with the Father. And as we sing this hymn, this psalm, as we read and meditate on this psalm and the relationship that we have with God the Father, the relationship that is becoming stronger every day and will be perfected in heaven because of Jesus Christ, what should come out of us? What should our reaction be? As we really enter meditatively into the reality of this relationship that's described here by David. It's not one to say, huh, we're so much better than mice. Stupid mice. Or to get all haughty and puffed up about ourselves. Look how favored we are by God. No, it is to humbly be in awe of our relationship with God, which leads us then to worship. And so this psalm starts off with worshiping God in all His majesty. And after reflecting on our relationship with God, it comes back to worshiping God in all His majesty, to the praise of God's glory, verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. What a beautiful closing as this psalm comes together. It opens and closes both with to the praise of the glory of God, of God's name. It'd be beautiful just to have verses 1 and 2 and 9 by themselves, but the reasons for the worship are brought together in the middle of the body of the psalm. That's our relationship to God. He cares for us. He honors us. He gives us dominion and is perfected in Jesus Christ. All of that to the praise of the glory of His name. The Apostle Paul is dwelling on this and expounds on this throughout the book of Ephesians, particularly in chapter 1. And he really summarizes this relationship we have with God, this glory that goes to God because of who He is and who He is towards us and what He has done for us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Paul writes, in love, He, God, predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ to the praise of His glorious grace. In love, God adopted us because of Jesus Christ's death for us. Through Jesus Christ's death for us. He loved us, so He adopted us in Jesus. And this love that leads us to be His daughters and sons because of Jesus, this, all of this, is to the praise of His glorious grace. Working together, God's love for us and His glory and glory for His name, as it all comes together in Jesus Christ and our relationship with God. To the praise of His glorious grace, God cares for you. God honors you. God gives you dominion. God loves you. Seen most perfectly in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for how you bless us. We rejected you, but your love for us continues on, and so you bring us back to yourself through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to trust Jesus, that we would know the depth of the relationship that you have called us to be your daughters and your sons, Almighty God. To the praise of your glorious grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.